Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get down and dirty and intimate on a particular gaming topic.
Yeah.
My name is Elliot.
I haven't showered.
Yeah, oh God. Sorry. That's Luke admitting some things he probably shouldn't be admitting.
Hi.
I was wondering what that poll was.
Well, you
was.
Said we were dirty.
Right.
So I just wanted to...
Yeah.
It was a joke.
It was
a poor
metaphorically
joke.
Dirty is what I was
well,
going
that's,
for.
That's definitely true as well. and we're here to talk dirty today.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk about the Australian Game Awards, which is actually having its very first year this year. It is a brand new initiative. And what it's trying to be is like kind of the big game award ceremony for Australia, right?
Yeah.
You've got like gigantic events like the Game Awards, which is taking place in December of this year.
It's very soon, actually.
Very, very soon.
And that's gotten so big now as an award ceremony where developers and publishers actually announce big things at awards. They do reveals, like a mini E3 kind of. Like,
it's
because
massive.
People definitely watch it. It's a big live event. And the winners of those awards, they actually do get like genuine acclaim from that. And it's a really positive thing for them and for the industry.
Sure. And I think events like the Game Awards aren't beyond criticism, but I'm really glad they're there, you know? Like, there's never going to be everybody agreeing on, you know, how the perfect award ceremony will take place or how the perfect nominee, like, situation happens or who gets to make the final decision. Nobody's
right.
going to, like, agree on that.
I mean, even with things that are much more mainstream, like the Academy Awards, we see how they get dragged every year for
even
the
Oscars
decisions
gets
they
dragged.
Make.
Yeah.
And they tried to introduce a popular category and everyone hated it, so they removed it, you know?
Yeah. Well, we just had the Arias here in Australia, and every time Five Sauce won an award, I was rolling my eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, like, who knows? Maybe they're fantastic and just release music I absolutely hate. But we're not talking about music.
No, thank God.
You don't want to do that.
No, not really.
We're here to talk about the Australian Game Awards. It is basically like the Game Awards, but for Australians. So you've got categories like Game of the Year, which is just, you know, the full breadth of the gaming releases. But then you'll have stuff like Australian Game of the Year, where it's just stuff that was created locally. They also represent a lot of local talent, like cosplayers, or whether it's just like people within the industry or publications or whatever, they'll kind of get a nod as well. So it's good to have those kind of categories and to give people some like representation and stuff. It's going to be taking place in, what is it called? The Big Top, I think, in
is
Sydney.
It? What'd you call me?
The Big Top. That is Luke's grinder name.
It is. I'm not grinder.
No,
mate.
What is it? Howler? What do you do?
Growler.
Growler. Man, I'm so far out of the loop. This is like if my dad was having this conversation.
Oh my God.
You're on one of them growler apps.
Meeting them boys. Yeah, so, I mean, it's meant to be a big deal, is the whole thing. It's meant to recognize a bunch of different things. Developers, talented creators, all kinds of really well, positive things, yeah. And I guess what we're here to talk about is this really a positive thing for the industry and what the impacts of the outcomes of this could actually mean?
Yeah, I think from the outside perspective, sure, it looks like a really good thing. Like, everyone loves an award ceremony. Everybody loves to have this kind of like, yeah, this is the game of the year, woo, let's like celebrate that. And we want to have like an official representation of that as well. Like the way the Oscars are the official representation for film. Like, I think just to validify our medium of choice, people want to have that kind of like official body, but it comes with its like massive downsides as well. Really, unfortunately, because, you know, when you're doing something like this, you're in the public eye and you're going to get so much scrutiny and like have so many people look at you. And this is a big deal. Like, you've got names like Hex, who is good game fame, who is kind of presenting this whole thing. They're selling tickets. It's taking place, what, like 7th of December or something? Probably around the time this podcast gets released.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting.
By then, we'll have outcomes and we'll eat our words, maybe.
Oh, I don't think so.
So the big issue that we have with this, let's just get straight into what we don't like about it, right?
Yeah.
Is the way so far the nominations have been presented, it doesn't make sense. There's a lot of problems with the nominations on the actual game lists, and there's problems for a lot of reasons, not just because some games probably don't deserve it, Which we'll get to as well.
It goes beyond our own personal biases towards video games. This is not like an objective thing. Sorry. Yeah. It's not a subjective thing where we're like, oh, we don't like this game, therefore it shouldn't be there. This is a bit more of an objective look at the whole award ceremony and saying, well, there's some really big problems here that are arising. And like, if this is the first of a multi-year thing, like, let's get this right.
Yeah.
As so, part of the industry, we want this to be awesome.
Yeah, we want it to work. We don't want to make this terrible. We don't hope that it fails. We want it to succeed. But for it to succeed and be seen on an actual platform that's taken seriously.
Yeah, it needs to be respected.
So right now, in the Game of the Year category, which is the big one, right?
Yep.
I mean, up for Game of the Year, there's some that you'd expect completely. So, like, for example, God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2, you know, things like that. And then you've got other games who have been critically and commercially dragged across the coals for their quality, like Fallout 76.
Yeah, Fallout 76, Game of the Year contender, apparently.
I mean, we've talked on the show at length about the problems with this game.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's talking about it. So for it to be in a Game of the Year category, for it to even be considered for Game of the Year, to be honest, makes us look dumb.
It raises concerns, doesn't it? It's like you look through the list and you look at that and you go, oh, that's confusing because all the other like pieces of information I hear about this game is that it's not very good.
Yeah. And I could say the same about, not in terms of quality, but I mean, Far Cry 5, FIFA 19... they're not games that changed the game or advanced the series in a meaningful way to justify being up for Game of the Year.
I wouldn't put Kingdom Come Deliverance in that list, for instance, and yet it appears there.
Super Mario Party? I mean, come on. you know, this is stuff we're looking at. But then,
this is us being subjective again.
I don't think so, though. I think that you can look at quality overall and sort of go, well, Super Mario Party compared to God of War, come on, mate. You're not in the same league. You can't be. But then you've got Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah,
that game isn't even out yet. That comes out next week. Like, or it's out now with this podcast. But I mean, but no one's played this yet, really. So how can you say it's a Game of the Year contender? And then the biggest insult of them all, which is insane.
Oh, God, here we go.
Fortnite.
Fortnite up for Game of the Year 2018.
So let's break this down, shall we? Firstly, Fortnite came out in July of 2017.
Mm.
I know, because that's when I got it. And I played it for that entire back half of last year. Even the Battle Royale mode that's got so popular came out in like October that year. So it's been out for a long time. This isn't a game that came out in 2018. You could argue that it's grown in popularity over the last year and became a phenomenon in mid or early 2018. But that doesn't mean it should be recognized for being the Game of the Year. And it's not. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be compared with some of these amazing games that we see on this list.
Well, the problem for me is it's just confusing, right? I went to the website and I really wanted to learn more about the Australian Game Awards because I was super interested in them. I was excited that this was happening. And I wanted to know, you know, what the nominee process was. Who was voting on this? How did these games get accepted? What is their cutoff period? Because, you know, sometimes games that release in like right at the end of a previous year are eligible for the next year because they weren't ready to be, you know, scrutinized because they were released so late.
But if that's the case, why is Smash Brothers on this list?
Exactly. And that's the problem,
inconsistent.
Right? It's inconsistent. The information isn't there. It's very hidden. Like, nobody knows why these games are nominated, how they got nominated. And then you look at things and find out that Bethesda is like an official sponsor for the AGAs, and it's like, oh,
Fallout 76.
Maybe it makes sense why Fallout 76 is nominated. Nintendo, another official sponsor. Maybe it makes sense why, you know, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is nominated. And I know we're pointing fingers and probably sounding quite bitter, but like, we need to be able to dive down into this thing, because if we want a respected industry and a meaningful award ceremony, it has to be impartial. It has to be real. And it can't be like, you can't buy your way in. If you buy your way in, zero credibility.
We want to get this right. And I think part of the issue for me is looking at the Game of the Year list is that there's no indies.
Oh, zero.
At all.
Yeah.
To nominate for Game of the Year. So what this is saying is if you want to be Game of the Year, you pretty much have to be a AAA studio.
Mm.
And that is BS. That is so terrible and shitty. And there's been so many amazing indies to come out this year.
And games that are, like, you know, better than some of the nominees on this list.
100%. Guns Between, Dead Cells, yeah. Into the Breach, Celeste. I mean, Moonlighter. There's some great little games that came out this year that should be in consideration and aren't even on the list. It's like indies a separate category. I think that's trash.
I mean, indies are literally a separate category in this nomination kind of list that we have. And unfortunately, when you look at that list, it raises questions of itself.
It is problematic as well, isn't it? And looking at the indie list, I mean, there are some ones on there that we have listed out, which I think should be there. But there's some games that also didn't come out this year that are on this list.
Yeah.
Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight came out early last year.
Yeah.
Yet it is on the Game of the Year 2018 list, as well as Hand of Fate 2, which came out last year, but is on this year's Game of the Year list.
Exactly. And then there's some games on there that I just think they chucked in there just because, like Fae.
Yeah, Fae was an interesting one. You reviewed this, didn't you?
I did review
Fae. It came out earlier this year, and it looked really promising, but then...
It wasn't.
All I heard about it was it's a very average game.
It's fine. You know, it's okay. It doesn't hold a candle to the rest.
What but stands
you
out
pointed
to me,
out something interesting, yeah.
Yeah, what stands out to me on this list that I immediately noticed is that so many of the games nominated for Indie Game of the Year are actually Australian-made games. Now, I love Aussie representation.
Sounds great in theory, right? Yeah. Yay, Aussie!
Like, I love it, but like, if you dissect that a bit, like, Damsel, Florence, Hand of Fate 2, Hollow Knight, Paper Bark, Storm Boy, The Gardens Between, that is seven games out of a list of, what is that, like 11 or 12? Maybe you can calculate that
11.
While I talk.
11.
Seven of 11 games.
That's pretty quick, actually.
Well done. are Australian games. So either we're led to believe that seven of the best games in the world all happen to be Australian, just like by coincidence, or quite clearly, the Australian Game Awards are angling at like that kind of Australian representation, and they're really trying to push for Australian games. Now, I'm all for Australian game pushing, but when you have categories like Australian Game of the Year, that's what that's for. That's where you get that representation, and that's where we can nominate and really celebrate Australian-made games. But if you're making a category called Indie Game of the Year, and your category quite clearly isn't Indie Game of the Year, it's like Australian Indie Game of the Year, because that is your like bias, then that's unfortunate because you're not doing justice to the actual category it serves in. You're being misleading.
I guess in a way, I mean, they have included a bunch of indie games that are international that have done quite well, like Celeste and Dead Cells. And like, I mean, you know, they're not necessarily missing all the good ones. But you're right, it does seem like a very biased list. You know, they've made this list specifically ignoring a bunch of really fantastic indie games from international markets. You know, you mentioned some before, like Moonlighter or
The
Messenger,
the Breach, isn't there?
Into the Breach. I mean, there's a bunch that could have been included that just haven't been put in there at all. And it does make you just sort of question and go, well, this doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite odd. As I mentioned before, you've got your Australian developed game of the year there as well. And you've got a bunch of awesome games nominated, but once again, a lot of stuff that didn't even come out this year. And I wish I could point to that and say, well, there's a reason for this. But I can't, because they don't make that reason obvious. They haven't said what their criteria is. They haven't said why these are nominated. They've just nominated them.
Yep.
And so all we can see from our perspective is that either somebody made a huge mistake, they don't quite know what they're doing, and they're saying, oh yeah, this released this year, didn't it? So it's either incompetence, A, which I doubt, to be fair, or B, there's something more malicious going here under the surface, where it's like they're misleading the consumer and they're deliberately trying to weasel certain games into categories that they don't even belong in.
It just, I think for me, the issue is we don't know how this was formed. We have no visibility as to how it's formed. And if you go back to the nomination process, you went to the website and literally typed in your nomination. And that was it. Like, you just typed in the name of it and pressed enter. There was no justification. There was no, like, explain why you think this should be nominated. There was no, like, official form. We have been involved in nominating games and things like that in previous awards that have happened here and overseas.
Yeah.
And they always require detail as to why. You can't just say, I'm nominating, blah, blah. Because then anyone can nominate anything and it would go through.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of decision-making process.
Like, what is it? Bodie McFaceface or something?
Bodie McBoatface. Yeah.
Anytime you let the public vote on something, they're not going to take it seriously.
That's why Fortnite's in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This award ceremony is supposed to be taken seriously. So somebody's made a mistake.
What they should have done is had a committee of people and they dissect all the games that are up there. All the games that are released. It shouldn't be a public nomination anyway.
But we don't know that that's not what's happening here because they are so closed about this. Like, you can go to the website now and you can actually vote for the winner. But nowhere does it say that the public is straight up deciding this. It might be a weighted system where there are some critics.
Or it might mean nothing.
Or it might mean nothing at all. It. Unfortunately, nobody knows. And then I guess the other dark horse that we haven't touched on yet is some of the categories themselves just... You have to question why they're there at all. So whether it's stuff like gaming peripheral of the year or stuff like... there's a lot of stuff just based on like straight up like sound technology of the year. And it's like, well, why are all of these brands who, you know, they might make decent products, but they're just extras in the gaming world, right? They're not there. These aren't the big things that gamers care about or want to celebrate.
Mm.
So the assumption is that they're there for sponsors or they're there to appease stakeholders or that they're there just because you can squeeze a bit of money out of these studios.
I mean, you have like, you know, Mixer Creator of the Year.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Mixer's involved. Why Mixer specifically? It's not Twitch Creator of the Year, is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like they've clearly got specific things that they're focusing on.
And part of me gets it. As like... As somebody who's part of this industry, like, sponsorships are important. It keeps you going, right? Maybe not us particularly. We try to do this all for free and goodwill and whatever. But, like, we're not trying to do anything as big as the Australian Game Awards, right? So it's hard to compare. Like, I know for a fact that sponsors are needed to keep these things afloat and to keep them going. But once you reach a point where you've gone so far to appease your sponsors and to appease your stakeholders that you've lost credibility... then I don't see what the point of your award ceremony even is anymore.
And what is the category social media god? What does that even mean? What are we talking like hot selfies on Instagram? Like, what are you talking about? Social media god. And the usernames are all like trash. Like, these random usernames like...
Oh, well, I mean, just because we don't know of them doesn't mean
no.
They're
I mean,
trash.
they're not even their real names. They're like literally their crappy
handles.
What is this? Like, I look at that and I'm like... Do people really care about this stuff? Like, enough to be in an awards ceremony?
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
For this part, I don't care that much. Like, they've got categories like Cosplayer of the Year. They've got stuff like, as you just said, Social Media God. And, like, a lot of things that are targeting very specific groups, like, you know, Twitch streamers or social media people or whatever. People who are part of the gaming community who are helping it grow through whatever means they do. Like, that's fine. I don't mind those people being recognized. But I don't think it's like a big draw. I don't think people are going to be paying $300 for a ticket to attend. Oh, I just made that figure up, by the way. Don't quote me on that. But I don't think anyone's paying to attend the Australian Game Awards to see who the social media god is. Like, is that a big deal?
Actually, Elliot, the ultimate fan ticket for the Australian Game Awards is $199.
Aha, uh-huh, there you go.
What? What? What could you possibly get for that? I'm going to check.
It's confusing though, isn't it?
It's trash.
And I think the reason we wanted to talk about this, because we were both excited about the Australian Game Awards and about their potential and about how we're both huge advocates for the Australian games industry and trying to move that forward and move it into some really awesome territory where developers can make some cool stuff and actually get recognized for their efforts and for achieving really awesome stuff. So the Australian Game Awards seemed like that was what it was created for. It seemed like it was a way for us to go, as Australians, have our voice heard and to say, this is amazing and it needs recognition.
Yeah.
And it deserves your attention and it deserves your sales.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what it looks like from an outside perspective is a bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that's the word I can only think of is embarrassing. Like, I feel for some of the developers who are nominated for this, who might have really excited, getting recognition that they deserve, and then to be nominated up against Fortnite or something ludicrous that makes no sense that it even exists. It's just a bit embarrassing. It's
not
like,
only,
who knows?
Yeah, because you want to be nominated for this stuff to get recognition. Of course you do.
And you want to be nominated because you're actually one of the best games of the year. You don't want to be nominated because...
Default.
because you slid your way in there because this whoever was running this decided that they wanted to, you know, boost up, you know, Australian indies or they wanted to, like, appease, like, certain sponsors or whatever. Like, that just ruins the whole thing.
I agree with you. And I think that, again, I want it to do well. I don't want it to be this travesty.
We have to wait and see. And I think if we end up eating our words after this releases, we'll do another Intimates.
We'll eat our words. We'll go back on what we said and sort of say, we were wrong.
I am not afraid to do that because, number one, it's more content for us.
That's true.
But number two,
it's an easy show. We can plan that in a bit.
Number two, like, I want to keep talking about this kind of stuff for sure because it's important to me. And if we end up eating our words, we end up eating our words. But from the from the onset, from right now, this looks tragic, and I'm so sorry. And I want to keep, like, uplifting the Australian games industry, but I can't support the Australian Game Awards. It looks terrible.
It looks terrible, especially when the Ultimate Game Fan Pass includes a gift from sponsors and stuff as well. And you sort of go, well,
what's the point anymore?
It's just icky. It's icky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gross.
You can't take it seriously if it's not a fair process.
Imagine buying your way into the Game of the Year category. Like, really?
Just make a good game.
That's what we want to be known for.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
I hope next year is better, but we still have to wait to see what this year is. But I have a feeling my head's going to be in my hands as I watch this because I'm dreading what this ends up being, to be honest.
I mean, ultimately, either way, this is a learning curve, isn't it? You know, this is going to be, we'll see what happens. And we do hope for the best because we want to support the Australian games industry. But ultimately, we have no real say. We're just going to sit here and hope and pray that it's not terrible. And I think we're ready to be disappointed. So I think that might actually make it okay. Because our expectations are so low. They'll probably end up coming out of this going, yeah, it's all right.
Is there something we should watch together and just, like,
oh, that's a good idea.
Have a couple of drinks.
Let's do it, Elliot. Yeah. Actually, what date is it again? So December 19th.
Oh, okay.
In a couple of
weeks.
That's
good. So, at least by the time this podcast releases, it's not outdated information and the event still hasn't happened.
It's a Wednesday night. Your place or mine?
Well, that means that anybody listening can actually still have their vote heard. If you want to shape how this thing turns out and try to move it in a direction that is actually respectable, then please do that.
AustralianGameAwards.com/vote.
Yeah, I've voted, even though I've, like, mocked the awards. I voted because I still want this to be
I voted
something
as well.
That's good.
Absolutely.
But we'll have to see how it turns out. I'm picturing it'll have sponsors out the wazoo. I'm picturing, and the problem is that it's not even, like, if they said this was sponsored content, fine. But if you're trying to hide it in there, that's so, it's icky. You said it earlier. Yeah,
it is icky. And I think ultimately as well, Australia is not known for replicating awards in a really positive way.
No, how do we keep doing it so wrong?
Like, look at the Logies, man. Like, just watch them. They're terrible compared to, like, the Emmys or the Golden Globes. Like, the Logies are just, like, absolute trash. So I can't see this being amazing. But yeah, I'll wait with bated breath.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know what you think as well. Anyway, we will be back next week for more Intimate Goodness.
Always.
Luke, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Elliot.
Sorry that it was such a bitter episode.
That's okay. I'm still wet with excitement.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Generally.
Bye.